My guest at this time is Clifford May, president of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. We wanted to get his thoughts on an increasingly controversial story, not only in Israel, but among supporters of Israel throughout the world. And that's the agreement, apparently, from the Israeli government to receive longtime captured Israeli soldier Gilad Shalit in exchange for the release of over 1,000 Palestinian prisoners, some of whom have been involved in some of the worst terrorist activities aimed at Israel. And Cliff, thanks so much for being with us.
Good to be with you, Greg.
This sort of offer has been out there for a while. Shalit has been imprisoned, I believe, since the war with Hezbollah back in 06. So what changed, do you think?
Well, I think the negotiations have been going on through back channels for a very long time. I think in this case, what we know is that Egypt got involved in it. Turkey was involved in it as well. But it's very hard to say what changed or what brought it to pass. That the Israelis wanted Shalit released, we know, not just his family, but the country. How they got to this particular deal and why this deal was acceptable to the Israelis, we can speculate on. I've talked to some people about, but I can't say I'm entirely clear on it.
Egypt, of course, has become, well, certainly more unstable, and a lot of folks would say less friendly over the past several months since Mubarak's been deposed. Turkey has made no secret that it considers its relationship with Israel frostier. So was this more of an intimidation type of negotiation, or do you think they were actually looking for common ground here?
Well, they were looking for common ground, but the common ground they found, obviously, is very beneficial to Hamas for a number of reasons that we just need to be candid about. One is that the Israelis are dealing with Hamas, a terrorist organization dedicated to Israeli and Jewish genocide. Secondly, for one prisoner, Israeli is going to give up about 1,000, many of whom have Israeli blood on their hands in the past and are likely to have Israeli blood on their hands in the future. It is a victory for Hamas at a time when Mahmoud Abbas, the head of the Palestinian Authority, a rival of Hamas, is going to the UN and demanding statehood and coming back with a lot of bluster but nothing tangible in return. Hamas can say, you see, we deliver. The Israelis listen to us. The Israelis make deals with us. We are the ones that should be listened to. It bolsters Hamas. Now, if you're being very conspiratorial about it, you might say, well, one of the ways that the Israelis decided to punish Mahmoud Abbas for going to the UN and cutting off negotiations with him, with the Israelis, is to say, you won't negotiate with us, we'll negotiate with Hamas. You think we can't negotiate with Hamas? You think that you're the only game in town for us? We're going to show you right now that you are not. We're going to hurt you in this way. We're going to get back our prisoner, and we're going to give up a lot. But we will strike very, very hard and very forcibly if and when we see these terrorists put into action again. Now, again, I'm speculating a little wildly here.
Cliff, I believe it was President Reagan who said that we don't negotiate with terrorists. Some would argue that he did, certainly in a couple of situations. But basically, the Reagan type of argument here would be that, well, the fact that you agreed to this will only invite perhaps more hostile actions taken towards Israeli defense forces, and we'll go through this whole rigmarole again, and another 1,000 or hundreds more Palestinian prisoners could be released if they succeed in capturing Israeli soldier. Do you feel like we're encouraging more action through this agreement from the Israelis?
It's hard to see how that's not the case. If you're Hamas right now, it seems to me what you're saying to yourself is, wouldn't it be a good idea for us to kidnap another Israeli soldier? Remember, that's what happened. You had Hamas operatives come into Israel proper, kill some Israelis, and kidnap one and hold him hostage without even showing him to the Red Cross at any point in all this time, which is sort of the basic thing that is supposed to be done and that the Israelis do always with their prisoners, but not even allowing that. So if you're Hamas, you think, well, let's kidnap another because it sure makes for good leverage right now and will in the future. And I don't see at this point what the Israelis are doing to frustrate that kind of logic.
Any impact from the frostier relationship between Israel and the U.S. into this?
No, I don't think so. I don't think the U.S. is going to, I would be surprised, I don't think the U.S. is going to comment on it one way or another. I don't know that the U.S. was involved. I don't know that they were necessarily consulted. And by the way, you know, where Carolyn Glick has reported, there's another aspect to this, which is that Hamas is going to move its headquarters from Damascus to Egypt as part of this. They don't like being in Damascus right now because of what's going on in Syria. That also seems like a big win, to me at least, for Hamas that Israel is giving up. Now, if there's something better to this that I'm not seeing or that the Israelis are not talking about, well, maybe it's there. Maybe we'll find out. I honestly do not know what it is.
What does that tell us about Egypt right now, that Hamas considers that a pretty hospitable environment?
It tells us that the Muslim Brotherhood is ascendant there. It tells us we have a lot to worry about with Egypt at this point.
What type of explanations do you think the Israeli people will demand from Netanyahu? A lot or not much?
It's mixed. I haven't seen polls, but there is, in Israeli culture and in Jewish tradition, the idea that you do everything you have to get the return of your captives, that this is a moral duty. I understand that that's very ingrained. You do not leave a soldier alive on the battlefield. You bring your soldiers home. And in a country where everyone must fight, that's very important. On the other hand, the families of victims killed by people who have been in Israeli prisons and will now be released, they, are, of course, don't see it that way. And they are protesting and they are petitioning and they are saying this is wrong. My child was killed, and now this person who had 17 life sentences will be freed. There is no remorse whatsoever. In fact, we expect to see them again on the battlefield in one way or another, acting as terrorists. I think this is going to be this will be controversial within Israeli society. On the other hand, on balance, I guess I don't think Netanyahu and his coalition would have done it if they didn't think that there is more support than outrage within Israel for it.
Cliff, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Clifford May is president of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies here in Washington. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.